Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
Music among other things.
So, Richard, welcome back to the world of MEOT.
Bonjour.
It's been a minute. You okay?
It's been a little bit. Yeah, I'm all right. All right.
What's been happening?
You know, watching the condensation with windows slowly form into mould. That's about it. I've just been in one room, I think.
I think MEOT was getting a bit chipper for my liking, so we needed a bit of balance.
Is that what you asked for?
That's true, yeah. I even found myself being a bit more optimistic, so yeah. I needed Rich back.
Is that balance?
No, in all seriousness, I've been pretty good, actually. I feel like we're coming out of the other side, almost. It was winter as well, and it seems to be getting lighter now, which is good.
Yeah, it was the first day yesterday where it felt a bit like there wasn't a bitterly cold wind just beating down on you when you're going for a walk, so it felt good. And how are you doing, Neil? All right?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, nothing really... change with me.
Nothing to report, no.
Got a PS5, as you're well aware, because I text you at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, you've been on quite a hunt for it, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been quite... I've been one of those sad people, just staying up at night, trying to bag one at 2, 3 a.m. So a lot of restless nights. It's been a tough month, really. I've got this like big mirror next to my bed, so I'll just be at like 2 a.m. and I'll get a stock alert or something. I'll just be like, and you know, you just sit up because you've seen something, and then like I'm just there refreshing the page, literally like Glastonbury tickets, and then I'll just catch myself stark naked on the bed just refreshing this page, and I'm like, what a disgusting man.
That's sort of like some weird like Black Mirror image, isn't it? Where you sort of wake up and you're just like, what am I doing?
Literally.
Like looking at yourself.
And then the next day I'll do it again. So
yeah.
Pretty sad, but I'm glad that's over.
Well, congratulations, mate, on your victory there.
Thank you.
Man, your sleep pattern is all over the place because you've been getting into NFL, right, as well?
Yeah, my sleep pattern's very bad, so... American sports, I watch. I've always been a night owl anyway, but I swear we're averaging, and Soph's normally quite like, she's fairly late anyway, but we've been averaging about 1-2 a night. It's bad. And then I probably average about 3 or 4.
Jesus Christ, man. What was your take on the weekend's Super Bowl performance?
Yeah, I thought it was all right, to be fair. I don't know, it's mixed. I'm not like a massive weekend fan. Like I wouldn't go and put him on. But then at the same time, when he's in a performance like that, you realise how many kind of singles he's had.
Yeah.
He has got some good tunes, to be fair. I would never put them on by choice, but yeah, performance in itself was quite good. I think it was overall quite well received. I felt a bit sorry for the... I don't know if you saw it, Rich. There was like loads of... people in almost like morph suits and stuff, so you couldn't see their faces, and you knew that all these dancers had probably been waiting for like 20 years for this big break, and then they're just completely covered up. So he's like, "Oh, that one fourth on the left, a rose." Felt a bit sorry for them, but I thought it was quite a good performance. What about yourself?
I haven't actually watched it properly yet.
You haven't?
I've just seen the memes from it where he's in that hall of mirrors just looking bamboozled.
Yeah.
But that's literally all I've seen of it. So yeah, I mean, on this episode, we're going to be talking a bit about lawsuits. We sort of got onto the topic briefly last week, Neil, when we were talking about Taylor Swift and her lawsuit with the Evermore theme park in Utah. And I just thought it'd be good to explore some of the other ones on this episode. Rich, I know you recently had to come up with a name for your business. Did you have to? Was there anything Was there any like big names that got away that you couldn't quite latch onto or anything you had to consider from a law perspective?
In the law perspective, to be honest, like the dog industry is just full of every sort of combination of like porcelain, pals, canine, whatever, blah, 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 blah. It's just all really quite cringe. So we were really trying to find something that was a bit less cringe. But
it's quite hard to nail that down. Are you able to reveal the dog name or are you the business name?
Canine out of 10.
I love that.
Love it.
I love that.
That's perfect.
Well, yeah. So that's the spin that you have because of the psychology angle. Is that right?
Yeah, sort of.
Nine out of 10.
Funny. I think, I don't know who came up with it. It wasn't us. It was a friend of Liam's. I think he's like a comedian.
Nice.
Or something. And he just said it. Oh, right. And it just stuck. But we went through loads of things. You know, everyone's got like, we were going to call it Matthew's Mutts at one point. When we were just messing about Matthew? Matthew's Mutts, and then they say, oh, sweet, which one used Matthew? And we're like, what? Me.
But, so you literally just go for the alliteration there.
Yeah, that's literally it. That's all anyone does. Karen's canines.
Have you got everything cleared by the guy who came up with canine out of 10? Just in case he tries to sue you in like a couple of years.
You know what? That's actually a good point because we are going to skyrocket this year.
And well, that's it.
We're well upset.
You got to have that ambition.
This could be your announcement to him.
Maybe we could do this sort of conversation live on MOT, get into some really deep law stuff, like lawyers and stuff. Yeah, that'd be good. Did you ever come across anything, because obviously you were in your band Tusker and stuff, did you ever come across anything yourself in terms of like law or anything? You've never been sued, have you?
No, we wanted to be called Tusk originally, and you have to go through the internet. We wanted to be called Tusk because of the Fleetwood Mac album, but then there's like loads of people called Tusks, blah, 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 blah. So we decided to go with Tusker. I was just like, let's go through the alphabet and add a letter on. I was like, okay, that'll do. So we went with Tusker, and we were going for probably a year or 2 years, and then found out that it's I think it's a Finnish metal festival called Tusker.
Yeah, I've just looked at it. Yeah. Finnish heavy metal festival, in Helsinki.
So we used to get tagged in their posts. and likewise. So it was a bit weird. Yeah.
Well, they should have invited you to play, right?
Tusker at Tusker, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that you had any songs that would have fit into the sort of heavy metal or won over the heavy metal audience?
I don't know. Probably not. It's a bit light.
I reckon. What's the crazy one? The one on SCP track Suck 2. Yeah, I reckon that might have won over a few. You never know.
Yeah, maybe. It's a bit more like King Gizzard, that one.
Yeah. But, was there one other thing, I swear, popped up in my memory about Tusker? Something about the guy who was doing your artwork was also doing the artwork for Weezer. Was it just a timing thing, or was it like, oh, he couldn't put two things out at once? I can't quite remember.
I asked if we could use this picture. Let me find out which one it is. Hang on.
Is that the spacey one?
It's the one with the girls on a swing going over the earth, basically.
Yeah. Very cool. It's like very cool photos.
Pacific Daydream is the album. So that picture, I asked this guy if we could use it. And he was just like, no, I'm saving it. So I didn't know it was actually going to be used for that.
Oh.
But no, I'm saving it. I was like, oh, mate, you sure? Like, how much do you want for it? Like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, no, I'm going to save it for something bigger. I was like, oh.
Damn.
Man. Savage.
And then he gave me, like, these choices that he would allow me to use. So I picked
Right. So your Tusker were going to use the one on the Weezer album?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. That's why I asked that guy, because I saw that. I was like, yeah, that's sweet. I'm into that.
Yeah. How much do you reckon that he was getting from Weezer? Like, probably quite a lot.
Yeah. He took a gamble, mate, because, you know, Tusker were big.
man.
No.
You know, don't downplay it. You got played on Annie Mac, Radio 1. You got some good stuff going on.
Yeah, it was all right. the artwork we chose was quite good, actually.
Yeah, I love it.
Three lads and our big tune was Brother off of that. So
yeah,
kind of fit in some weird way.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man. Yeah,
still
interesting.
He did well with Weezer, I think.
Do you feel bitter towards Weezer? Did you listen to the album?
I couldn't listen to it because I was just, you know, so distraught.
Maybe we should reconcile. Get the guys from Weezer on, the photographer, and your mate who came up with the K9 out of 10 idea. And just get it all out there, man. You know, just fight. Just iron
I'm
it
sure
out.
Sure, there's some sort of way I can sue them. Probably.
Maybe that'd be the task ahead of the next episode. Just find out a way to sue Weezer.
Yeah.
What's the line with when you're writing music? If you thought of like a, I don't know, whether it's be lyrics or a riff that's kind of borderline, like it's been inspired by somewhere, but you know it kind of sounds similar to others. Have you ever been in that situation where, I don't know, where maybe it's a bit too close to being inspired by that band? Or what's the line of where you can make it your own and when it's okay?
You know, it's really tricky because, you know, your brain's just like a sponge. And you might not even realize until you've actually finished a tune or like months after you finished it that actually sounds exactly the same as this other tune that you heard like 10 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Or that you haven't even heard yet.
Like, well, that's the other side of it, yeah. So a lot of the time it's completely unintentional. I think if it's done intentionally, you need to like borrow and then change it. Kind of the rule of it. Loads of people said, you know, good musicians or good creatives borrow, they don't steal. So you take it and you change it and you use it and you mix it with other stuff that you've taken. That's all. But like just ripping it off.
It's like I wrote A Day in a Life.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing.
I think there's sort of a fine line because I think technically it's something along the lines of six notes in a sequence means that you've copied it or something like that.
Oh, really?
But it's quite also there's been, you know, all these cases over the past few years, you know, like the Blurred Lines and Marvin Gaye Estate. I think there's one with like Coldplay and Joe Satriani a few years ago as well. But they sort of changed the way it's all set up. But it's sort of a worrying thing because I've done it before where I've been like playing around with something and I got this idea. I remember I wrote like this this chorus or whatever, and I was like, oh, I think I quite like this. And then I suddenly Buddy Holly by Weezer came on my shuffle, and I was like, oh, this is fucking exactly the same. so it's sort of annoying when it happens. Have you ever done that, Rich? Like almost got to the point of completing a song, and then you've heard something, you're like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, it's worse when you like, you record it, you track it, you mix it, you pay for someone to master it, and then you send it around to your mate, and they go, oh, that sounds like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's sort of annoying when people do that. I don't know why people always feel like obliged to say, oh, it sort of sounds like something, but...
I know, they don't realise. I think the other thing with it is, if you've borrowed something, or if you've done a tune that sounds quite similar... There's actually been like a bit of a history behind it of people like paying like homage to whoever did the first track. I think is it Arabella by Arctic Monkeys? It sounds like War Pigs.
Yeah, the Black Sabbath song.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did like a cover of it when they were playing live and stuff. And
so that would be more like what? So they would kind of give money almost to acknowledge that they were inspired by it, but they've kind of made that riff their own, or they're literally are saying we're using that riff.
Yeah, I think though it's not that they're using that riff, they've just acknowledged the fact that it sounds quite similar. Yeah. And I guess
just cover your back sort of thing.
Yeah, it's up to the other person whether they, you know, whoever did the original, whether they want to take it to court or whatever. I think it was Tom Petty, I can't remember what song. But Last Night by The Strokes, the intro sounds like exactly the same as a Tom Petty tune.
Yeah.
I feel like it was
It's like The Last American Girls or something. But he was also in a thing with Sam Smith a few years ago where there's a song, you know, his song Stay With Me.
Yeah.
It had the same sort of melody as a song that him and Jeff Lynne did back in the day called I Won't Back Down. It's like, no, I won't back down. No, I won't back. But they settled it by, they just added Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne as a co-writer on the song. So they settled it quite amicably. Yeah. But it's interesting you're talking about this because one of the first things I wanted to talk about, because I was thinking this week it's been the 10-year anniversary of Nostalgia Ultra, Frank Ocean's original mixtape. And I don't know if you guys remember, but he basically samples the Eagles Hotel California on American Wedding, which basically Don Henley still stands by it as well, as in he sort of, you know, took quite a few shots at him and basically called him untalented and everything. I mean, Frank Ocean basically did just take the whole master track and rewrite the lyrics and, you know, sort of mimic the melody somewhat. And I can sort of understand, like, an old rocker might not understand, you know, that it might be like a homage or anything. But I think the thing is, Frank Ocean's Nostalgia Ultra as well, it was released for free. Do you know what I mean? He had a lot of issues with his label and he just thought, fuck it, I'm just putting it out there. So it wasn't like he was making money off of it. But still, Don Henley was... and you see, like, I watched the Eagles doc over Christmas with my dad and it's like 3.5 hours long. And Glenn Frey and Don Henley both feel like very militant. You know, they take their business very seriously. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I could sort of see why he might have had an issue with it. Have you heard, like, American Wedding? Do you know that song?
No, I can't remember it. I've listened to that album, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I love Frank Ocean, but I don't really go back to that original mixtape, to be fair. I always consider, like, Channel Orange my first discovery of him.
So did he actually just rip the whole song and just put a different vocal over the top?
Yeah, I mean, across the album, he, like, even, I think the first track is Strawberry Swing by Coldplay. He just put his own vocal over the top of that. But I think him...
To do that and not mention it to the people who own the rights to it, actually.
Yeah, because, I mean, this was the whole thing around that mixtape, because there was a conversation about what's like a homage and what's sampling. Mm. And technically, because he wasn't making any money from it, it was like deemed okay. I don't think Chris Martin and that like pressed anything, but it seems like the Eagles were very, you know, militant about their back catalogue being used and stuff. But I'm also a bit like, you know, they must have, I mean, haven't they got like the biggest selling album of like the 21st century? I'm about to snooze.
I don't know the history in terms of like what Frank Ocean was like at that time, in terms of was he regarded in the industry at all, or was he just like a regular guy that just put out this mixtape. But I guess if like some random 17-year-old did something like that, I don't know if they're expecting something massive to come from it, or do you know what I mean? It probably happens all the time, but then he's one of the people that just turned out to get famous. So obviously they go back to it. Whereas loads of people probably do that on like a weekly basis, but it just never gets picked up. I don't know the history.
Yeah, it's true. I think, yeah, I guess that's the catch, isn't it? Like if you don't think this is going to go anywhere.
Yeah, true.
Bother trying to get the rights to use something. So it's a fine line. But I think if you're a musician, you're thinking of going for it, you should just check anyway.
Mm.
It's like Stella. I think on Stella's last release, she had a tune that she...
Oh, she sampled somebody, didn't she?
Sampled something, yeah, but she made sure she got the rights for it. I think that's fair enough. But that idea of using like a whole song reminds me of that. I swear it's Amy Winehouse. She used like a Marvin Gaye track.
Yeah, on there, Tears Dry on Their Own, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the one. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, isn't it? You just used the instrumental and sang over the top, but I guess that's a different thing because she was already quite established.
Yeah, it's also like depends on the, I guess, the person, the personality. Like, I remember when we did that interview with Stella, and she was saying we sampled, but they, she had like, she got in touch, didn't she, and was talking about the song, and she actually saw that as a massive influence, and so she actually, it was really cool that she came out and acknowledged that and was very public about it as well. To be, I don't know, whereas some people might just be thinking with like dollar signs or something, being like, oh, I don't want to give up, you know, 10%, whatever. Knowing that it could probably fuck them in the future, but I guess it's always better probably to, I don't know, to kind of let people know these people are your inspirations rather than I've just nicked this temporarily.
I think in every form of art there's always a sense of borrowing. Like if you look at visual art as well, time and time again, like good artists, they take inspiration and they literally use visual elements of like the old masters and people they're inspired by in their paintings, and you can actually see it, like analyzing it, and that's so in your face, cool, that's from that. But there's no like, there's no real like headbutting, because it's all in good faith, and it's all taking it and trying to build upon what's already happened to create something new.
I think that's the key, isn't it? Good faith. Yeah. Like that's all anything is in terms of art culture. It's just borrowing something. You're obviously it's like a compliment itself that you're influenced by these masters, like you say. So it's almost like a trust thing, like good faith. Like as long as you're not taking liberties, there's always going to be these grey lines that I'm sure we'll probably cover.
But... And the music industry is just run by like corporate, you know.
Yeah, not true.
And I understand everyone, you know, wants to get their fair cut of what they're working on. But
yeah,
do you remember the at Mark Ronson tune, Bruno Mars? It's got Uptown Funk, and it's got like 100 different credits on it because it came out and it just sounded like every song from the 70s.
Really?
It would just kept like, you know, sending the letters. This sounds like this 2 second gap in my song from 1972. Like, all right, I'll put your name down there.
It's like Facebook in the corporate world. Facebook is still getting, and I don't like Facebook, but they're still getting like court cases now where people are like, I actually, you know, had the idea of doing this, for example, like the friend request thing, or they'll have different features on the website. It's like, I swear I mentioned that to you the first, and just stuff like this. There's like court cases that are still going on now for things that people are just claiming like, oh, by the way, that idea that you've released. And
that's so weird though. Like how anyone could do that. I could do it.
Yeah, literally.
England and someone else has made up an idea in America. I've never met them in my life. There's no way. But, you know, it's like with music, there's a limited amount of notes and a limited amount of chords. You're going to stumble across something, aren't you?
I think it was more of the Facebook that there was like, probably like they knew each other at college and stuff, and they've had conversations about things. And
Don Henley specifically said, like, you can't rewrite the lyrics to somebody else's songs, record it and put it on the internet. And, you know, over the years, Frank Ocean came back and was like, they asked that I release a statement expressing my admiration for Mr. Henley, along with my assistants putting it off the web as much as possible. Shit's weird. Ain't this guy rich as fuck? Why sue the new guy? Which is a fair point in a way. But I don't know if they're trying to make like a wider statement about what you can and can't do. But I think that this was, I feel like probably to a lot of kids, they might remember this whole case, and maybe the Eagles don't have as much, you know, a good representation to like the younger people than they do to the old. Because I always remember this as a bit like, I don't know, it's just like, I feel like they make enough money from it anyway, but I feel like, because they're particularly militant about their business and stuff, then maybe that's just why it comes across like that. But, because over time I thought, maybe like Don is like, you know, understood a bit more about like sampling and stuff like that. But it's like in 2015, still referred to Ocean as a talentless prick. Called him a talentless little prick. But in like the same, Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a funny operation, the Eagles. It just seems very serious. Like you said in the same interview, that Eagles backstage is like there's no partying, no alcohol. It's like a morgue backstage. And
has Frank Ocean like commented on anything or?
Oh, that's what he said. That's what he said before. He was like, you know, when he's saying, "Hey, this guy rich as fuck. Why sue the new guy?" That's what he said.
Awesome.
And then I thought, like, oh, maybe it's just Don just going off of one, but Glenn Frey also said, in fact, he should pay more because his version is so bad. So, yeah, I don't know, it's a sort of weird one there.
You can see, like, I don't know, I can imagine him just Frank Ocean taking a shot at them in the future on one of his, like, tracks or something. Just doing something because he's fucking huge now.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Well, that's the thing. I mean, he's having to go at his like odd creative integrity, but then he went on to make Channel Orange and Blonde, which are arguably some of the most like defining things. So he can sort of like, I wonder if Don Henley's listened to Blonde. Probably not. So imagine him sitting there.
Definitely.
But yeah, no, it's sort of a weird one. That. But I was also thinking about there's a big thing of Frank Ocean versus Chipotle. Back in the day as well. He's in a lot of lawsuits back in, you know, 2011 or something. But he was like, he was basically asked to participate in this Chipotle project where he's going to do a cover of Pure Imagination. And it was like, there's going to be this whole advert about how they, you know, they're sort of promoting sustainable farming and stuff. But apparently Frank Ocean saw the ad that they sent him, but there's no Chipotle logo on it. So he like, just backed out of it. And then I think the deal was that he got like $212,000 up front, and then he'd be paid $212,000 afterwards. He took the upfront money, and then they basically asked him for it back because he didn't do it, so he just held on to it for ages. And then he just put out this check with just fuck off written in the like name or something like that. But
why can you get pissed off? You've just been paid some money to give it back, twat.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a weird one on Frank's part, I think. But, yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, if you don't agree with the project, then just pay it back, $212,000. But that's crazy money. So he would have got $420,000 just for doing a three-minute cover of Pure Imagination.
Yeah, I would have done that for anything. It doesn't matter what it was.
I swear in, like, Blonde... trying to find it, but I swear in Blonde, Frank Ocean does, he has something like at the end of the songs that's like sounds a bit like kind of Willy Wonka. I swear. One of his songs is just like, I'll try and find it, but because I remember I always think about it, but it's really nice. Very pleasant. Pleasant tune.
He should go back to his nostalgia ultra roots and record, you know, his vocal over the original Pure Imagination, but just take shots at Don Henley and Chipotle throughout it. I think that'd be a good way to actually round it all up and show off his artistic integrity. One of the other ones I was looking at, which is quite a weird one, was Kanye West versus Evel Knievel.
Yeah, I saw that one.
You see that one?
Yeah.
So in Kanye's video for Touch the Sky, he essentially uses his image. So in the video, he's referred to as Kanyevil. It's a great video. Have you seen it, Neil?
I don't think I have, no.
It is a really funny like video. But yeah, essentially, in the thing, he's got Evel Knievel written on this. He's basically boarding this rocket and he's being fired over this canyon. And apparently it's like a reference to, well, Evel Knievel failed to jump this, it's called the Snake River Canyon in 1974. So it's almost like a little nod to that, essentially. But it seems like he was really pissed off at the start. And but then apparently they met at a condo, and then everything was like fine after that. But it'd be quite interesting to think of what that meeting was like between Kanye and Evel Knievel. And then apparently Evel Knievel like died a couple of days later. So that was one of the last things he did was chat with Kanye West. Oh, maybe it's... Actually, no, that's not good. I was going to say maybe it's suspicious.
It's probably what killed him off.
Yeah, yeah. When was this? Was Kanye quite big at that point?
Yeah, he was sort of like at the peak of his powers, I think.
So he went and paid him a load of money, and then...
Yeah, maybe that was it.
And then he's like, oh, Kanye's a really nice guy.
Yeah, a great guy. Just water cash straight in hand. But yeah, he initially was like, oh yeah, it's vulgar and offensive to his image and stuff. And then he was like, oh, I thought he was a wonderful guy and quite a gentleman. That's a quote from him himself. Everybody looks like a gent when they got 250K in like a briefcase.
That's what I mean.
To pay it off. I think, like we were talking about earlier with people copying tracks and stuff, Noel Gallagher is pretty bad for it, but he's also very open with what he's done before. I don't know if, have you ever heard a song? It's like an old Oasis B-side called Step Out, and it's a direct rip of Stevie Wonder's Stevie Wonder Uptight. So the chorus is like, it's all right, da, 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 na, ah, da. That does exactly the same thing, but I think they kept it as a B-side just to sort of keep it out of the limelight.
No one will notice.
He's a muppet.
What do you think about Noel, Rich?
I think he's a muppet. I just said it. I think he's... I don't even like his music. Especially nowadays. I think he's just less and less creative. He's just boring. And he talks a lot about, like, you know, rock stardom being dead. And doesn't he, like, he rips Sleeve and Mods, didn't he, quite a lot?
Yeah, I don't think they're fans of him.
Well, no, rock star, they're anti him, basically. They're anti
him. I just imagine him replying to Sean's invitation to the pod, being like, oh, yeah. And then just hearing you say this, and just be like, a little prick.
Like, it's just, I watch him, it's the same as watching my dad playing bass in the other room. Himself.
Savage.
How is your dad getting on with the bass?
Actually, he's quite good.
Invites back on.
Yeah. I'm basically, my room is... So one wall used to have like glass doors on it, and it goes into his office. So I've had to put like these soundproof panels on there that have just like blocked off the doorway, but I can just hear it so vividly. So even though he's getting better, I'm just hearing it constantly.
And what's the percentage of like work versus bass playing that goes on in the office? Because the office makes it sound like it's an official sort of place.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. It's a desk next to a washing machine, basically. Yeah, no, it's a lot of bass, more than work.
Office of funk.
Yeah, I have to like give him more enjoyable songs to play sometimes. Like I gave him a load of Nirvana because I thought he might get on with that. I can listen to that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it's like these really obscure songs from like the 50s that are just really cringe.
Yeah.
And he plays them over and over and over again. Oh my God. It's like Peggy Sue. Have you ever heard the song Peggy Sue?
That's like an old standard or something, isn't it?
Yeah. That is on repeat constantly. And it's, oh man.
You probably have to do that.
Words can't describe my frustration. Probably frustration would be a good word for it.
You probably have to do that with kids, don't you, to a certain extent? You know, if they start playing the same thing over and over again, and it's just like, yeah, why don't you just start a lot with some Nirvana? Or
just like, yeah.
Yeah. Is he into Nirvana? It's quite a cool image of thinking of your dad. Sort of, because your dad's what? He's in his 50s, is he? Chugging away at some Nirvana. That's quite a nice image.
Is it? I don't know. I try not to watch, to be honest.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. But I think he played it for about 5 minutes. It was like, oh, no, it's easy. It's easy. even though he was just like boom, trying to find the notes 5 minutes and then gave up.
Is your dad express any musical talent, Neil?
No, my whole family is not musical at all. I always take the piss out of my brother because he's like really smart and he's like the smart one in the family. And his GCSEs, he's always like, look, I got 4 A stars, 3 A's and a B, all right? And then everyone's like, and an E, because he got an E in music. he had to take like another arts, and he's like, and a fucking E.
Damn. Was that a GCSE, do you say?
GCSEs, yeah. But yeah, I mean, my mum, yeah. Apparently my mum's got a good singing voice, because I don't know if you know, it's quite a stereotype that Filipinos love singing. They like, if I don't know if you've heard of, there's like bars like every corner in the Philippines, or like every household has a karaoke kind of style machine, similar to like kind of SingStar. And yeah, it's like, it's the equivalent of like Scrabble here, I guess. Like everyone seems to have it in their house. so it's the Filipinos are known just to love singing and stuff.
Nice.
As Bruno like, Mars is repping us.
Yeah. I feel like Scrabble is quite competitive, though. It's karaoke in the Philippines.
True, yeah. I imagine it is, but I don't know. Filipinos I've come across personally haven't been too competitive, to be fair. It's more been like chatty, a bit fun, and too much love in the room. But I do prefer like a competitive Scrabble vibe.
Yeah.
I swear, isn't it on SingStar you have to reach certain notes and stuff and you get graded?
I don't know. I've not played it. Sophie's obsessed with it.
Really?
I've not played it personally.
Here's another weird one. You know Bill Wyman? From Stones, yeah. He tried to sue a guy, I think he was a writer, called Bill Wyman. Bill Wyman from the Stones, that's not even his real name. And they were like, I think they were trying to just get proof that this other guy called Bill Wyman, who I think must have been like successful to some degree.
Yeah.
They were just trying to get proof that that was actually his name.
What was the outcome? Did it say?
Let me try and find it. Hang on.
Both forced to change their names.
Yeah. No, I think it was like, I think they ignored him or something. It said they ignored it. And then they were like, oh, yeah, no, it's fine. We figured it out. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's just like, where were you going with that? Imagine someone calling you up saying, sorry, I'm going to take you to court because your name's Neil and my name's Neil.
Well, actually, funnily enough, there was, I don't know if you remember, but I think it was on episode 9 where we were speaking to L. Hunt. I told you about the Sean Kerrick who hit me up. I get loads of emails through, to, like music-based emails through. Do you want me to send them on? And I actually got back to him and was like, I don't meet many Kerricks. Like, have you got an Irish background and stuff? And he only got back like the other day. And sort of just a weird exchange, really, with somebody who has exactly the same name. But it seems amicable at the moment. I mean, I don't want it to turn sour. if MEOT takes off, I just have this lawsuit from this guy in Texas.
You've probably read the same article with me on NME, but there's some pretty weird ones on there, like the Will I Am one. You know, he started sending Pharrell Williams letters to tell him, first of all, why letters? I imagine that's the official way, but he's demanding him to stop using the phrase I am on his website, saying it's infringing his kind of, you know, name and brand and stuff. It's like, what? That's the arrogance of that is just
annoying. It like the will.i.am?
Yeah, because you know he's like will I am, but he just wanted him to stop using the phrase I am, literally in capitals I am, no dots or anything.
That's so weird.
Imagine like, he's posting like, I am really grateful for everyone that showed up to my show, and he's like, oh god. What have I said?
I was actually thinking about this recently. I don't know if you remember, but do you remember when Jay-Z dropped a hyphen from his name?
No.
So it's J-Z, and it was like 3 or 4 years where he used that, and then he went back to the hyphen, like he found it again, like 4 years later. But I was thinking, maybe in that time, could you have put music out as Jay-Z with the hyphen and then got away with it?
Probably, I don't know.
Maybe.
I bet
like expert fans, do they talk about his music? Like, I don't know. If you're talking about an artist, like, oh, post-AM Arctic Monkeys or pre-AM, are they like post-Jay-Z or Jay-Z?
Or hyphen Z. Yeah, I don't know if anything happened.
You could, because even if, like, you know, an artist dies, someone still owns the rights to their music, don't they?
Yeah. I just found this article that basically lists all of the musicians that are suing Donald Trump when he's been using their songs and stuff throughout his campaign, like Neil Young, REM, Aerosmith, Adele, Elton John. I think he used Rihanna's song, Don't Stop the Music, in like one of his, I can't really imagine like his crowd bopping along to that though, do you know what I mean?
I don't really understand a lot of the musical choices he made while he was campaigning, to be honest.
Well, do you remember?
I don't think there's really a song that kind of suits him, is there?
Not really, no. It's like, I don't know if you remember, but there was, you know, the inauguration was a bit of a no-show, and he couldn't really get any proper musicians to play. Like, they were even considering getting the Bruce Springsteen tribute band, but and they initially accepted, but then they were like, actually, Brucey wouldn't do that. And I always think about that, the line between tribute bands. This is a bit of a subtopic, but I remember going to see a Bruce Springsteen tribute band in Putney, and this guy was like, I mean, Bruce is famously very liberal minded, right? You know, always for the working man and stuff like that. But this Bruce Springsteen tribute act was sort of making semi racist Brexit jokes on stage, and I was like, oh, so the tribute only goes to the music, like, yeah, you can't exactly take on the persona and stuff. It's sort of just a weird weird thing. But anyway, on that Donald Trump inauguration, I don't even remember, but they had overdubs that what's it called? You know, the "Hey Now, You're a Rasta," but it worked like so well on that. And I don't know if you remember. Also, after his victory, he played Rolling Stones' "You Can't Always Get What You Want," which is like a sort of, I don't like that. I can't listen to that song anymore because it's sort of a bit. I remember listening to the speech and that, and then that playing, and it's almost like a bit like haunting now. It sort of ruined it.
Why did he use that song?
Could he's just very good at, you know, doing those moves that will maybe piss people off. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a PR stunt, isn't it? What's that?
Yeah, it's just winding people up.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, it's a weird one. But I mean, I feel like Trump's probably just walked into. He's probably just going to be in courtrooms for the remainder of his life, by the looks of it. But sort of whenever I'm thinking of these lawsuits, I'm always thinking of, obviously it's just going to be like lawyers and representatives in the actual courtroom, but I always think of like Mick Jagger and Donald Trump in the courtroom himself. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I like the idea of that, but obviously, you know, that doesn't really happen.
Without lawyers like defending their own cases.
Yeah, I imagine Jagger would be very like flamboyant, you know, in his delivery and stuff. I'd love to see that. I was going to ask, what member of the Rolling Stones would you want to represent you if you were in a very serious case?
Christ.
I don't think you... Well, the drummer's always quite straight-laced, so maybe him. But Jagger's got the charisma to maybe pull off, like, if you've done a particularly heinous crime.
Ronnie's all right.
Yeah, Ronnie's. Yeah, he's got like a good charm about him, isn't he?
No, he's a painter, and I was looking at his stuff, and like I was saying earlier, they take stuff. He basically copied a Picasso painting, but instead of like the figures that Picasso did, he painted like the Rolling Stones, like Mick Jagger, Keith.
I think I've and seen
like,
that. Yeah,
he's got a very difficult face to paint. He said something like that.
I don't know if, whether that's a compliment or a diss.
Oh, he's got so many like caves in his face, isn't he?
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. If you're gonna paint something on Rolling Stones, you've got to deal with a lot of wrinkle. Do you know what I mean?
It's like fleshy pockets, isn't it? You could probably keep loose change in there. You know?
Yeah, maybe you have to. I think if you were being like, you know, given the job to do that, you'd have to work out like a fold, you know, a fold fee or something, or a sort of wrinkle fee to be able to do more. Yeah,
it's,
that's a weird
it's funny
one.
And interesting though, because a lot of these things, it's like we said earlier, it's very much dependent on the position that person's in, who's copying in inverted commas. Like if you're in a limelight, yeah, then you know a lot of, you know, you're going to get a lot of attention. But like, you, so say if I was famous, Sean, and that card, the birthday card that you and Chantel got me, was like me with the blonde hair waving, like in with Taylor Swift's like album cover. Imagine if I was famous, yeah, I put that on Instagram. That would be a lawsuit for me from Taylor, being like, "You're ripping off fake lights." Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's there's like, so many, yeah, things dependent on like who you are. If you're like a nobody, then you're fine.
Also, your character, like if you're famous, but again, like the Donald Trump, if someone, you know, if you post up a birthday card, you got sent with his face.
Yeah.
Be annoyed. If it was someone who was liked and it was just a joke,
yeah,
I'm sure she probably right of it.
Yeah, I always wonder this because, you know, like the most classic birthday card probably gone around the last year is, you know, Boris Johnson being like, go out, but don't go out and stuff like this. I always wonder, like, do these card companies, like, do you get rights for that? Or it's like, yeah. I don't know, I can imagine. I don't know. It's just a weird kind of route, isn't it? I can imagine Boris just seeing the invite, being like, oh, go on then, sign off.
I can imagine it on like Boris Johnson's tax return or something, like services he provides in the box, like, you know.
Card factory.
Yeah, card.
I think there's something in like the... I think, you know, if something's considered as like parody or a caricature, like there's ways to get around it. There's like exceptions to the copyright and stuff. So it's like, really? But I wonder how far the parody goes as in like, you know, even if like you just add an extra wrinkle to Keith Richards' face and you're able to use it. It's like, as you can see, he's got three right wrinkles on his like right cheek or something. I've added an extra one. I don't know. I didn't find anything out about the karaoke thing. I think there's been a few things around. Apparently, it's a bit of a legal nightmare. But apparently, this is an interesting fact. Karaoke actually means empty orchestra in Japanese. There we are.
Nice.
Bit of a fun fact. But yeah, I think there's like some bits over that, and like Sony ATV Music like going to court over some stuff. But do you ever karaoke, Neil, yourself?
Yeah, I've been known to actually. My leaving party or something similar to, I used to work at Age UK, you mentioned earlier, Rich. Yeah, we went to like a karaoke bar / bowling. It's always bowling / karaoke, isn't it? It was like an all-star lanes. And that was quite fun actually. It was like a big old booth that you had like 10 of you in. And, but I have to have a few drinks down me before I can confidently do it. But then you kind of have that line, don't you, of like really going for it and trying to do it well. And you kind of got to do it well, or you just fucking like put on your lad voice. You're like, yeah, done. Fucking like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Trying to be like shit almost. But and then the other memory is the pub near us at uni, Sean, the County Arms. There used to be some good karaoke nights in there. That's where I always used to do Taylor Swift, You Belong With Me. For some reason, that was my go-to. Or Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll by The Killers.
That's a belter, that one. It's sort of, you got to really go for those notes. I think, to be fair though, if you're at leaving doing it, it's probably the best time you can ever do karaoke, because you know there's going to be no repercussions. Like, you're already handing your notice, you know your leaving date. Just like, just go for it. I remember I had that similar sensation, Neil, when we went to the Harry Potter world. And there's a bit where you can go onto a broomstick and they basically superimpose you into like the Hogwarts castle. So you're like flying about on a broomstick. I remember just looking out and you and Sophie were looking back at me. And I was like, I could either go for this or I can just do it really timidly and look like a dick. So I just went for it. I was like looking for Hogwarts. Like the guy was like, yeah, go and look for Hogwarts. Like, point. Yeah, yeah. Where are you going next? Okay, baby. Yeah, flash me a smile. But, yeah,
literally, yeah, that is so cringy what they do. They're like, oh my god, a Dementor's following you, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's like, oh my god.
Yeah,
gotta go.
They've got that bit, haven't they, where you stand over the broomstick and you go up or whatever.
Oh, do they? I haven't been for a while.
That must be an added feature.
Yeah
I went a few years ago with I was quite old at that point, but I feel like I was past it with Harry Potter. But
yeah,
it was like all the other visitors were like crowded around. They all wanted to go. And for some reason, this, you know, 3-year-old girl got chosen and me. like there's just like a massive circle of people. Where, like, there was a bigger crowd than I would have got playing any gigs live at Tusker. And I was like, do I just go up? And I was like, no, I need to give these people what they came for. Yeah. I was like, up.
So yeah, you need to, don't you?
That's got to be a weird circumstance. Just load of people circle around you and a 3-year-old girl just trying to
The thing is, she went first, she smashed it as well, and I was like, I can't just back down.
You're at the disadvantage straight away. Anyone young or cute, like they've beaten you already, so you've got to do something funny.
Yeah, I had to go for it.
Yeah.
I don't think I got a single laugh, I think. Yeah.
Just a pissy golf clap or something.
Got ripped on my brother. Come off like silence and James just goes, what was that?
What the hell do you do up there? You're an embarrassment to the Sturges' name.
You're embarrassed. Yeah, exactly.
And JK.
And JK.
Now get on the screen.
All right, guys. Good chatting. And we will catch you all for the next one. MAC Pod, Instagram, Twitter, you know the drill, etc.